Well, if you have your Bible with you, you probably can't see it, right? So if you'd like to read with me, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the land of the shadow of death, the light will shine on them. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this evening. Lord, this Christmas Eve, Lord, as we anticipate the hope, Lord, of the coming of the Savior into this world. Lord, we know that he has come, but Lord, as we celebrate this time of year, we marvel over how he has come into this world and what he brings. Lord, I pray that, Lord, through the teaching of your word this evening, that you would minister to all of us, that our hearts would be filled with the truth of your word, that we would see the glorious light of Christ, the Savior, who came, Lord, to save. And Lord, that we would worship you, who is worthy of all of our worship. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you're not familiar with R.C. Sproul, he was not only a wonderful theologian that has taught me many doctrinal truths in an exceptional way, but he is also a children's storybook writer. And if you haven't read the story of the Lightlings to your children, I highly recommend it. It's just a wonderful book. And this book illustrates what we all experience, right? Sometimes, especially as young people, we wrestle through the fear of the dark. But I want to read a little section of this book, and as we start our sermon this evening. And I'm going to be reading the very beginning. R.C. Sproul, I believe, is the grandparent in these books. One evening, in a house, in a quiet neighborhood, a little boy was getting ready for bed. The boy's name was Charlie Cobb. And as his mother was tucking him in, she covered him with blankets to make him warm and cozy. She knelt by his bed and prayed with him. Then she stood and leaned over and kissed his forehead. Charlie looked up at her and said, "Mommy, please don't forget to turn on the nightlight before you leave my room." Mrs. Cobb smiled at him and said, "Don't worry, sweetheart. I'll be sure to turn on the light. I won't leave you in the dark." So Charlie's mother gave him one last kiss, finished tucking him in, and turned on the nightlight next to his bed. Just as she was ready to leave, Charlie said, "Mommy, why am I afraid of the dark?" She said, "That's a hard question to answer, Charlie. I think we're going to have to ask that question to Grandpa. He's coming for dinner tomorrow, and so you can ask him then." "All right, Mommy," Charlie said. "I'll wait until tomorrow and ask Grandpa about it." The next day, just as Charlie's mother had promised, Grandpa came for dinner. Before they moved to the table, Charlie went and sat on Grandpa's knee and said, "Grandpa, may I ask you a question that's really bothering me?" Grandpa smiled and said, "Of course, Charlie. Tell me what you'd like to know." Charlie said, "Grandpa, why am I afraid of the dark? And why do so many people I know seem to be afraid of the dark, too?" Grandpa looked at Charlie and said, "That's a very good question. But you know, not only are lots of people afraid of the dark, many people are afraid of the light." "Afraid of the light?" Charlie said. "Why would that be?" Grandpa said, "To understand that, I have to start at the beginning. In fact, at the very beginning." Well, hopefully I've sparked your interest to this book. Well, tonight we gather together on Christmas Eve. It seems like just yesterday we were gathered together on Christmas Eve. This year went very fast. Christmas is a day that is marked on all of our calendars. It's a blessed day, to be sure. A day that children in America and across the globe look forward to with excitement and anticipation. A day that's filled with expectation and joy. A day that evokes strong memories, nonetheless, of Christmases of old, of family, of friends, of love, and of loss. This is a day that is celebrated by many, and it has its foundation in what is known as the Christmas story, the birth of our Savior and our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of the Son of God. The Christmas story unveils to us many truths. It reveals to us that God the Father is merciful. It instructs our hearts that all is not lost in this fallen and forsaken world. It demonstrates to us that God is sovereign and that He is in control as we observe the divine way of providence in which the infant child Jesus was protected from the wicked and bloodthirsty king named Herod. It is a story of redemption. It is a story of grace. It's a story of hope. And here, this Christmas Eve, we will observe that it is a story of light. Light breaking through the darkness and illuminating not only this world, but our very hearts. Isaiah speaks of a great light, that the people who walk in darkness and live in the shadow of death will see a great light, that will shine upon them. Well, this begs the question for us, when will this great light shine? When will this light shine upon us, and what is this light, or who is this great light that Isaiah speaks about? Well, in the verses that follow, and really just a few verses down in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah drops one of the most vivid and clear and precise prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. And this is what he says: "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." This child who would be born to us, this son who would be given to us, is none other than Jesus, the Son of God. And he is depicted as light entering into the darkness and seen by those who live in the shadow of death. Well, as illustrated in our story, I believe that we all had to wrestle with the fear of the dark, with the fear that is often accompanied with the darkness. I remember being a young child and being afraid to fall asleep alone in my room. And I would often call for my mother to come and sit by my bedside and be there with me until I fell asleep. Well, just as in the creation story, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering. It was at that dark time that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So was this fallen and cursed world, in the shadow of death, covered in darkness, before God sent his Son into this world as the light of the world to shine his light upon those who walk in darkness. In the prologue of John's gospel, Pastor Josh read for us, The eternal Son of God is described as life and light that shines in the darkness. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." R.C. Sproul, in his expositional commentary on the Gospel of John, makes note that these two words of life and light are carried on from the prologue all throughout the book of John, but that also the antonyms of those two words, death and darkness, are also used to describe the condition of the fallen world that we live in. The fifth verse states that the light shines in the darkness. Friends, this is the Christmas story. The condition of the world, not naturally but spiritually, is described as dead and dark and cold when the light of Christ pierced through the darkness. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it reads, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." John affirms that the Word in the beginning, who was with God, and the Word that was God, had become flesh and dwelt among us. This is God with us. This is Emmanuel. And John said, "We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It's no doubt that John is speaking here, seeing his glory of the Mount of Transfiguration, where he and a select few disciples got backstage passage with Jesus and went up with him onto the mountain. And in Matthew chapter 17, verses 2 and 3, that describes this, it says, "And 6 days later, Jesus brought with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light." This word transfigured is a word that has some Latin roots. Trans meaning across, and figure meaning form or shape. So think of this word to mean a change of form or appearance. And in our English dictionaries, it would read that this word carries the idea of transforming into something more beautiful or elevated, to be transfigured. But what we see here with Jesus is that what was ever veiling his glory, his heavenly glory, was lifted before their eyes. And the brilliance of his being was revealed. Notice that he was not reflecting the glory of God like the moon reflects the light of the sun, but rather that the glory of God was emanating forth from him, and it was described as a shining light like the sun. I'm sure that's something that John had a very cherished memory of. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus, as we went through the Gospel of John, if you can remember all the way back to chapter 8 when Pastor Matt was teaching, Jesus spoke these words. This is one of the I am statements. And we found out that he was actually in the temple when he spoke this, and they were celebrating the Feast of Booths. And it's very likely that there were many lamps lit. And if you remember, God led Israel through the wilderness with light, right? A fire by night and a cloud by day. And so Jesus speaks these words in the temple that was lit up. And he says these words, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, those who would have heard that, right, they would have been reminded from the book of Isaiah that the Messiah was the light to the nations. And when they heard those words, they would have heard them as if Jesus was saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light to the nations. I am the Messiah. Notice that Jesus not only affirms that he is indeed the light of the world, the Messiah, the light to the nations, but that he also reveals the purpose of his light. He says that those who follow me would never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, this Christmas Eve candlelight service, we are going to focus on three functions of the light of Christ. And the first is this. The light of Christ exposes the darkness. If you look at John chapter 3 in verses 19 and 20, it reads, and this is the judgment. Light, the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been done by God. The light of Christ exposes the darkness. Jesus, the light of the world, has come to expose the darkness. Not only the darkness that is in the world of men, but even more so, the darkness that is in the hearts of the men of the world. Notice that the men of the world who are unwilling to come to the light are described as being lovers of darkness and lovers of evil, and therefore haters of the light. Now keep in mind that the light is Christ. Well, if that sounds a little too harsh or lopsided, too extreme, as we look at that passage, we have to take note that there isn't any middle ground spoken of. There's nothing in the middle described here. Man either loves the light and believes in the light and comes to the light unto salvation, or man loves the darkness and refuses to come to the light and is condemned. Grandpa explained to Charlie that there were not only people who were afraid of the dark, but that there are people who are in the dark and they're afraid of the light. Why is it that man does not come to the light? Well, it says clearly, it's for fear that his deeds will be exposed. In other words, the man loves his sinful ways, and he loves his wicked deeds. He does not want them to be exposed. He doesn't want to turn from them. Exposing and revealing the darkness is why the Son of God has come into this world. But this man wants to continue in the dark, even if it means eternal judgment, eternal death, eternal darkness. Friends, the Christmas story is the story of light piercing through the darkness of men's sinful hearts, exposing them and revealing the darkness within, so that men would come to Jesus, the light of the world. And this Christmas is the perfect time to come to the light. Come to the light of Christ, the eternal Son of God, so that you may enter his light and be cleansed of your darkness. Come to him. He came to save. He came to give eternal life through his light that exposes the darkness. John chapter 3, verse 17 reads, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." This Christmas season is a glorious time to consider that the light of Christ has come into this world to expose the darkness. And friends, we don't have to scratch too deep to find darkness. We have all fallen from the glory of God. We have all turned away from God to go our own way. And we all know the things that we have done in secret, in the dark, or even openly. But here we see that Jesus came into this world to expose the darkness so that we could come to him and have everlasting life. Three functions of the light of Christ. The first is that the light of Christ exposes the darkness, but the second is that the light of Christ enlightens the heart. It enlightens the heart. In John chapter 1, if we turn back there, in verses 9 through 13, it reads, "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens everyone. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." I remember many, many years back when I became a follower of the Lord Jesus. I was in my early 20s. It was a long time ago. And I remember some people, I remember there was a stir around me. I had come to Christ, and I had a lot of relationships with people that were not following the Lord. And I remember that there were some people describing, trying to figure out what was going on with me. And they would say, "I think he's been enlightened." And I think they meant it maybe in a condescending or a mocking type of way, and they really didn't quite understand what had happened. It wasn't just a phase that took place. I didn't just come to some great knowledge for myself. But what they were saying actually did describe what happened to me and what happened to many of you who have come to know the Lord. When you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world. I had been enlightened. Jesus enlightened my heart. He opened up his understanding to me. And this was no doubt by the work of his Spirit in my heart, but this was the very first time in my life that I understood the significance of what it meant to have faith in the Lord Jesus and the work of his cross. This enlightening was the result of Christ shining forth his glory, piercing through the darkness. Had the Christ child not come into this world, none of us would be enlightened. None of us would see our darkness and our need for salvation. I was also enlightened to the gravity and the weight of my sin. This light exposed the darkness of my heart and the many ways in which I tried to appease the guilt of my heart because of my sin. But I was also enlightened to the fact that there was no ability within myself through my works to save me or to make me acceptable before God. I was enlightened to the desperate need that I had for God's grace. And that grace was found in the gospel of his Son, the light of the world. This enlightening of the heart, this enlightening that through the light that has come into the world that enlightens every man, this enlightening through the light of Christ opened up my eyes to see and to understand who he was, to believe that he is the eternal Son of God, and to trust in his work. Friends, it says that it enlightens every man, and that's not to say that every man is enlightened unto who he is and is going to heaven, but there will be no denying of Christ. And if you remain in the darkness in this life, when you pass into the next, you will have an eternal regret because you will know then that Jesus indeed was the light of the world and the only way of salvation. John teaches us that Jesus came to his own people, the Jewish people, but was rejected by them. And he had been rejected. If you read through the Gospels, he was rejected by the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. But we notice in verse 12 that as many as received him, as many had come to him and come to the light and embraced the light of Christ, he gave them the right to be called children of God and to be born of God. Friends, this Christmas story, the Christmas story, is a story of light. It's a story of enlightenment. That Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the possessor of life and light, came into this world to enlighten every man. He came into this world that was made by him, that did not know him. He came to his own people that did not receive him, yet to all who come to him, all who come to him, he gives them life eternal. Jesus affirms what eternal life consists of when he prayed in his high priestly prayer found in John 17:3 on the very eve of his crucifixion. Jesus prayed these words, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Friends, that is eternal life, that you would know the light of the world who pierced through the darkness to rescue us from the domain of darkness and to transfer us into his beloved kingdom. The Apostle John also affirms that there is no eternal life in those who do not know the Son of God, the light of the world. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, the Apostle John writes, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Friends, life is found in Christ alone. Finally, the ministry of John the Baptist that is described here in a prophecy of his very own father when John was born. His father's name was Zechariah, and it affirms that salvation, the salvation that comes through the enlightening of Christ who shines upon those who sits in darkness and the shadow of death would be proclaimed through his Son, who would prepare the way of that ministry of Christ. In Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 79, Zechariah is prophesying here, and he's speaking to his son. And he says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to make ready his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those," listen to this, "who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to direct our feet into the way of peace." It sounds familiar, right? It sounds a lot like Isaiah 9:2 that we opened with. Friends, the Christmas story is the story of how the light of the world has come into this world, invading our darkness, to expose our sin, to enlighten our hearts so that we may believe in him who is the light of the world, and to turn from sin, to forsake the darkness, to get over our fear of the light, and to enter into that light through faith. Well, there's no better time. There's no better time than now to turn from the darkness, to turn away from sin, and to put your hope and your faith in the eternal Son of God. That is the Christmas story. Well, three functions of the light of Christ. The light of Christ exposes the darkness. The light of Christ, as we just learned, enlightens the heart. The light of Christ also illumines the path. It illumines the path. For all those who come to believe in this light, the light of the eternal Son of God, and partake of life eternal, they are no longer to walk in the darkness. They cannot remain in the darkness, but must live as people of the light. We are born in the darkness. No one is born a believer. I guess maybe, you know, John the Baptist came close there, right? But even he was converted in his mother's belly. We have to forsake the darkness. We have to forsake our life. As Matt just preached, we have to disassociate ourselves with that person that we once were, to come into the light. And coming into the light, we come into the light to rid our hearts of the darkness, that we would say farewell to the old person that we once were. And this is not something that we can do in and of ourselves. This is something that God does through his Spirit, through the death of Christ, that we become born again, as the passage said, that we are born of God and described as being children of God. But as we come into the light illumines the path of how we should live in this world and how we should walk in this world as children of the light. Again, if we go back to John chapter 8, verse 12, this I am statement of Jesus that proclaimed who he was, that he was the Messiah, that he was the light to the nations. He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The story of Christmas is the story of light entering into this dark and fallen world that exposes the darkness that is in our hearts because of sin. It enlightens our hearts to the Son of God and the good news of his gospel, the light of the world, so that we would no longer walk in darkness, that we would turn away from our darkness, and that we would walk in his glorious light. The Apostle John, later in years, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, he describes what this means to walk in the light. And he says in verse 5 through 7, "And this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." Notice that anyone who claims to have fellowship with God, anyone who claims to know him, to be a child of the light, and yet walks in darkness, John says, is lying. He is a liar. You cannot continue to walk in darkness if you have come into the glorious light of Christ. You can't remain in the dark and have eternal life. Those who believe in Jesus as the light of the world, it's very clear, are to live as children of light. Now, this doesn't mean that once you become a child of the light through faith in Christ, that you're never going to sin again. You're going to wrestle with sin. And kind of like this evening, if you can imagine the beginning of your walk with the Lord, it's a lumen, but it's not fully lit. But as you continue to walk with him, the light will get brighter and brighter. And you'll live your life in the same way that you came to the light. You will have faith in Christ, and you will repent. And I believe that you'll do that every day of your life. You'll live a life of repentance and faith. You'll turn from sin and confess your sin, and you'll come to him in faith, believing that he indeed satisfied God's judgment when he shed his blood and died for you. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, the light of the world, are to live as children of light. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. He says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of that light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead even expose them." So we wouldn't be practicing those things anymore. We would be shining the light on those things, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. "And do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" If you just woke up, I didn't say that to you alone. The Christmas story is the story of God, the Father of lights, as it says in 1 John, sending his Son Jesus, the light of the world, to expose the darkness of our sin, to enlighten our hearts, to believe in his glorious light, and to illumine the path so that we can come out of the darkness and walk in the light of life until we enter into his glorious kingdom, where he is our light forevermore. In the book of Revelations, it speaks about Jesus himself being our light. In Proverbs, as I mentioned, alluded to in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. This is the life of the believer. We come into the light, and as we continue to walk in him, the light shines brighter and brighter as we come to know him more through his word and engaging in the truth of his word day by day. And as we fellowship with one another in the body of Christ, and we minister this truth of his word and the gospel to one another. And as we kneel down and pray and begin to ask God to make this true of us. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, it says, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn." Picture the dawn. It's dark, but some rays begin to pierce through over the horizon. And what happens? He says, that shines brighter and brighter until the fullness of day. As you continue to walk toward the sunrise, it's dark, but as you continue walking, the light begins to emanate and the sun begins to rise. And this is the life, the path that is illumined by Christ. That as we continue to walk on that path, the light becomes brighter and brighter and brighter until full day, until the sun is right above our heads. It's the brightest that it's going to be. And I believe that he's speaking of that eternal light of heaven. But notice verse 19. "But the way of the wicked is like thick darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." Friends, this is the Christmas story. Amen. That the light of Christ came into this world to expose our darkness, to enlighten our hearts, and to illumine the path. And friends, if you are in the darkness this evening, come to the light. You will find that the light of the world is merciful and kind. So merciful and so kind that though he never sinned, he bore your sin. He would gladly take your sin upon himself and take it as he did to the cross, where he bore it, he owned it, and he suffered greatly for it. And friends, he was put to death. All of us deserve to be put to death because of our sin. Because God is the Father of lights, and him is no darkness at all. We could never think that we could dwell in his presence if we're living in the darkness. We must come to the light. And you will find that he is a merciful Father who graciously gave his Son, and that his Son Jesus graciously went to the cross, bearing the burden of your sin that you could never carry on your own. Friends, if you remain in the darkness, there is no hope for you. But if you would just come to the light, if you would come to the light, that he will strengthen you and forgive you. If you turn away from your sin and come to him in faith, he will give you eternal life. We want to close by reading a little more from our book here. At the very end of the story, Grandpa looked at Charlie and said, "You see, Charlie, we're afraid of the dark because we were made to live in the light. But someday, all of us who love this Son, Jesus, will live with him forever in heaven. When we go to the dwelling place of the Son, who is now the light of the world, there will be no darkness at all. Not only that, there will be no moon, there will not be any stars or even the sun. There will be no lights, no lamps, no lanterns, not even any candles. Charlie asked, how can it be light there if there's no sun or lamps or candles? How can that be? His grandfather replied, in the place where the king's son now lives, the light that shines forever still comes from him. He is the light in heaven. All who come into his presence will never be in darkness again. Wow, Charlie said. That sure is a wonderful thing to look forward to. And I think it is too. This Christmas, I hope that you will see the glorious light of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the light of the world, and that you would turn from the darkness and that you would put your trust in him. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, we thank you for your light. We thank you for sending your Son, the light to the nations, the light of the world that enlightens every man. Lord, I don't know, but I believe that in a room this size that there could be many who have yet to come into the light. Lord, there may be many here who are more afraid of the light than they are of the dark. Father, I pray that you would unleash your Holy Spirit upon them even this very moment to enlighten them to the beauty and the wonder of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and that that light, his light, would drive out the darkness that is in their hearts, and that they would run to the light and see the path that is illumined before them, and willfully, as the man who found the treasure hidden in the field, for joy over it, he hid that treasure and went and joyfully sold everything that he had to purchase that field, to secure that treasure. The Lord Jesus is the light. He is our treasure. I just pray, Lord, that you would bring them to him. In your name, amen.